What are the tips, tricks, and tactics working in today's entrepreneurial environment? The strategies, the practices, the psychology, and the exact how to grow in your business or start a new one. How to blow up your personal brand and supercharge your personal growth. That's our promise, and this is your next favorite podcast. My name is JP Fluellen, and welcome to Success Agent Podcast. All right, let's talk about today's anti-sponsor for the show. The anti-sponsor just means that they didn't pay me to actually do this. I actually am a real estate broker for real, and I get to do this because I serve as one of their managing brokers. And for real, if you're a team or anywhere in the North America and you're looking to find a great home where you can build your business, grow your team, grow your revenue streams, grow more profits, and grow your wealth, and also build a legacy where you can leave this behind for your team, your staff, your family for years to come, you should check out The Real Brokerage. Just go to go.joinreal.com and check out all the cool things that Real has to offer. So if you're a real estate brokerage in North America, this may be interesting to you. So there's my pitch for the anti-sponsor, but let's get into today's episode. All right, welcome to another episode of the Success Agent Podcast, where we interview top agents, broker owners, and business people from across the globe. And we're here today talking with Tia Lilly from Cape Cod. So welcome.
Thank you, JP. Happy to be here.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of people on this podcast that specialize specifically in waterfront properties. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to kind of unpack this as quickly as we can to give you little edible treats that you can take to your business and figure out if, hey, if maybe you might want to specialize in your real estate business. So Tia, tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, that's how the business came to be. So I started off in an entry-level company, believe it or not, that was predominantly foreclosures. So I was like, oh boy, did I make a mistake? Cause I just can't do this foreclosure. It just wasn't for me. So I partially got lucky, but I still have the website to this day, propertycapecod.com. Please take a look at it. Visit us if you're, well, we'd love to hear from you too. But this website drew buyers from all over the country looking to come to Cape Cod because we're very much a resort destination to own a vacation home here. So I built my business and buyer agency. Usually it's the opposite, listings, they say, but I just started working with buyers all over that wanted to come here and own a home. And typically that involves on or near the water when they're looking for a vacation home. Not always, but typically that's what they want. And the Cape, for those, I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with Cape Cod or if you've heard of it. Have you heard of it, JP?
I have, but I couldn't remember where it was. So I was like, oh, this is in Massachusetts.
Right, right.
Yeah. And there's they're not in the news very often. So that's why I was like, Cape Cod, I have heard a lot of the news. Just I didn't know where it was. I had to think. I was like, is this in Africa? Like, where is this at? Like
to some people, we probably feels like we're in Africa,
right?
But yeah, we're just like this little island in the tip of Massachusetts when you look on a map, and it's comprised of 15 towns. It's not a big place, but we're known for beaches and ocean. We're surrounded by the ocean. Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard. This is where people typically will come to ferry over to the vineyard in Nantucket. So, it's pretty special. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. A lot of lakes and ponds here too, though, not just ocean beaches. So it's all about the water here. So summertime, like from May to even now through September is our time here. It's gorgeous, typically. So yeah, so it's a fun place. It's a great place to own, invest, vacation. So that's pretty much how I got started. And then I started specializing in waterfront, in anything on or near water. And I know you're a realtor yourself. I talk to a lot of realtors. They are very, and I get it, like hesitant to specialize in something because you might miss out on something else. And I did take a lot of flack in the earlier in my career for that, because it was just go sell, sell, sell. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you sell, right?
Right.
Just sell. That's how you pay the bills or whatever comes along. But I stuck to it. I stuck to my guns to kind of cut a niche in that. And I said, nope, this is where I want to be. Plus, it's fun and it's my happy place. I'm passionate for it. It's not as fun with the foreclosures for me anyways. It's depressing. This is everybody's happy and you're changing people's lives for the better. I have the amazing clientele. They're always just so grateful that they bought that vacation home that maybe they even hesitated for a while. But I encourage, whether it's waterfront or whatever, specialize. You will not lose out. Just because you specialize in something doesn't mean you can't do something else too. That's just your specialty. And then just know it inside out.
Sure.
So, yeah. And
so how does that work then if you get a person that's like, no, I want a house in, you know, I don't know how far the, you know, mainland is from the island, but like if somebody wants to look at something there or anything like that, do you usually just hand those off as a referral then?
I do a lot now in my career, now that I'm a brokerage. So this is how I started. I started as an agent, went and got my broker's license, went out on my own. So that's been out on my own for 7 years now. And now it will depend. But yes, I will outsource. You know, I have great agents that are so much better than I am at certain things too, you know, so we all have our strengths. So
yeah, that works out pretty well when you have agents, you can just hand them over to.
You hand them over and they do a so much better job than I would do as more into.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast you could go into, going from sole agent to broker owner and how that all goes and how you, you know, recruited agents, things like that. So maybe we'll unpack that at a future date sometime. That'd be a lot of fun.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. So let's talk about a little bit about like the different types of water and kind of like the different types or is there different architecture around different bodies of water? Are they built differently? And then how does that add value to
That's like an excellent question. That's so how it usually starts. So we'll just say, for example, you're working with a buyer that you want to come JP and you say, I want a waterfront home. And that's where they mostly start. I want a waterfront home. It's just not that simple. So there's a lot of questions that follow with that because there's so many different water. There's so many various types of water, especially on the Cape. You have rivers, you have beachfront, you have the lakes and ponds too. And then you have the homes that have docks. Do they want a dock? So usually my first question, are you a boater or are you a beach goer? Like, where are you looking to be? And then pricing, depending on location, that's where price will dictate too. And depending on what they want, if they're more boaters, then you kind of know where you're looking. So there's a lot that follows. How will they use the house? Do they want to be near a town? Do they want to have, you know, or do they want to be private, more secluded? So there's so much and there's so much water to the Cape. So that is really where you got to kind of start there and narrow in. So that's a great question. So that's usually where I start with the client.
Gotcha. And is there a difference between like a property value that's on the lake versus on the beach versus by the river or a pond? Do the values drastically change in terms of like entry point into, you know, the different types that they're close to?
It varies. It can vary a bit. COVID's really changed for all of us countrywide, pretty much. We've just seen prices really, really go on the upswing. But typically for the Cape, for people that want beachfront, that's more expensive, like true beachfront. Not to say that the others aren't, but it just depends. And then you get into the whole dock situation. So you say, hey, I'm a boater. Okay, that's great. What type of boat? You know, mm-hmm. How much depth do you need? It's you know, so there's docks, there's deep water docks, there's docks that you have to watch the tide and be, you know, be aware of where the tide's at to get your boat in and out. So I usually at that point will say, like, from boater standpoint, okay, what kind of boat do you have? Well, I don't have a boat yet, or I have this. So you got to know the drafts and where are they looking to go and what are they looking to do too. So that's another conversation with that. But yeah, it does vary, and it varies location. Locations can be a huge factor. And then rivers would be with docks or easier buy-in, if you will, for the water than something like directly on the beach. But it depends on what river you're on.
Okay.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, you know, in terms of geography, I guess, but you would need to figure that out when they get there. So what is it about the Cape that draws people to the area?
The water. It's really the water driven, yeah. Because the beaches. Yeah. Yeah. The beaches are gorgeous. It's great for boating, for fishing. It's even for people that just say, hey, you know, I like, for example, I'll give you a example of a couple not that long ago that said, hey, we want to sell our home. It was smaller, and now they were going to live here full time. And we want to buy, this is called Wequawket Lake. It's one of the bigger lakes on the Cape. It's a full recreational lake. So yes, so that's another thing too. What kind of lake do you want to be on? Do you want to boat on the lake? You can't boat on all the lakes. Some of the lakes are just kayaks and paddle boards and more serene and quiet. There's other brackish too that you just don't even want to go in. So it's quite a variety. So they said, look, Tia, we want to be on Wequawket Lake. All right. It's more expensive on Wequawket Lake. I said, okay, we looked at a couple houses, and he's a past client. I said, now just let me ask you, when are you getting your boat? We're not getting a boat. I said, okay, why do we want to be on the water? Well, we like being on the water and we want to look at it. I liked, because he had a little one that was on an inlet before. I said, okay, well, why are we buying on Wequawket Lake then? I say we all the time. I'm not buying it with them, but that's just how I am. And I said, let's go find something on another lake where you two can enjoy it. You can kayak if you want, you can do it. And then we found a really great deal. It saved them probably $500,000 than if they bought on the lake with a fixer upper, maybe more. Maybe it could have ended up being close to $1 million. And they're so happy. I just visited them recently. Yeah. So, I mean, so you really have to kind of dive deep into what it is they're trying to accomplish too, I think, is the moral of that story. But yeah, there's so many different types of water. So it is, how are you going to use that water?
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I know I like water, but I also don't like noise too. I like to boat and do stuff, but, you know, so it's like, it seems like there's just a ton. So like when you're doing your initial buyer's consultation, like how long does that typically take?
Depends on the buyer. Yeah. So some of them it's hard. We talk a lot through email. Some of them will get on the phone. Some don't want to get, these days, nobody wants to talk that much. They just want to email. Some want to text. So it all depends. But I try to at least get an initial conversation going so that we spend our time wisely, because it is time consuming for them to drive here, or fly here. But it's usually, I've been doing this so long, so I can usually ask very few questions and get to know exactly what they want. Yeah. You know,
is there anything special about Massachusetts that draws people to the area? Like in terms of, you know, like why would somebody want to retire there versus, you know, Florida, for instance?
Well, there's a lot of correlation from Florida to Cape Cod. There's similar, a lot of Cape Cod is a more, it can be more of a retirement community in the winter, but they all leave. So it's really more, it's interesting. So Naples, everybody knows Naples, right? Vero Beach, even Clearwater. I think you mentioned Clearwater. So there's a lot of correlation with people back and forth from Cape Cod to Florida. So they own two homes. So they travel from here. Yeah. And there's like Naples does have similarities to Cape Cod. So Cape Cod is, it's like an island. It is an island. It's not like an island. It is an island. But what's different is it's connected by two bridges. So you drive over a bridge, you got water on each side of you, and now you're on the mainland. So that's the Cape, right? Then you can either get on a plane or take a ferry to Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket if you want to take it further to the islands. So Yeah, it is cool. And it's definitely more of a resort destination for sure. Vacation place. And quieter in the winter. Yeah.
And what would you say the average price point, if you were to just generalize the pricing of homes out there, what would be the average price of a house out there?
Well, they've really gone up. And in waterfront, you can't get into anything great on the water for under $1 million right now. You're really at $1 million. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, on the water. So, and if you do find something in that, it's usually not, you know, it's not quite as desirable like with recreational or deep water or whatever, or it requires a lot of work. It's a fixer-upper.
But gotcha.
Yeah, $1.5 million's hard. It's more closer to $2 million.
And is there, do you see any like real estate investors purchasing out there?
Absolutely. That's actually how I started my rental division. So I'll give you an example. And it was just not that long ago. So we had this wonderful couple that came and wanted, they lived Arizona. So they wanted a home on the Cape because they were constantly vacation on the Cape, but they wanted a home they could come to with their stuff and not have to keep going to different houses, have a house they loved, have a house the way they wanted it. So we found them a home. They said, "Will you take care of our home while we're not here?" "Sure, we'll take care of it for you." So can we rent? We want to rent the home. We don't hear all the time. So let's rent it. Yep, we can rent it for you. So this was on a beach. And so we did that for them for 4 years. They bought the home for $2.2 million, and they just sold it. We just sold it for them last year for $4.4 million. And that does not count the rental that they received, which we rented out for $13,000 a week for most of the, yeah. And it was booked solid. There was never an opening. And so,
that is so crazy.
Is that not crazy? I mean, COVID definitely springed the, you know, jumped that price, but it still would have increased anyways. It really would have. So it was still going up, probably maybe not to that degree, but still at least $1 million without COVID.
That's so crazy. So how does that, like right now in terms of, you know, if somebody wanted to invest in a piece of property out there, what kind of rents could they expect out there?
It really is a location driven.
Yeah.
So it's going to be location driven, the condition of the home, what it offers, what that person. I mean, we love, like, these guys were great because they came in, they said, "Do whatever you want to the house." And we're very respectful with money too. We don't just go buy things that, like, we're always looking for the best deals for our clients when we purchase. We're top of mind with that.
Yeah.
But they were very open to making it a great, comfortable rental. So that helps a lot in what you can get for money. But if you're on the water, just to try to give you some kind of idea, range at least. So you buy an investment property that maybe you will use a little bit and rent it out the rest of the time on the water, especially on a beach. I mean, it depends on the bedrooms, like how many bedrooms. A 4-bedroom's better than a 3. Definitely wouldn't recommend a 2 if you're renting. Not worth it. There are rules and regulations. I won't bore you with that unless you want to hear about it. But yeah. So this was a 4-bedroom home. 5 is even better. But say you had 4 or 5 bedrooms and it was on the beach, you could be looking anywhere from 20 to 30,000 a week.
A week?
A week.
Whoa, that's insane.
Have you thought about your dreams of home ownership? Or maybe you're downsizing, or maybe your family is growing. Getting a loan is now as fresh as getting a morning cup of coffee. Java Mortgage, based in Wyoming, offers FHA, VA, conventional loans with competitive rates. We are a Wyoming-based mortgage broker, so we can get banks to compete so you get the best deal. With our second look guarantee, if we can't beat your current deal, we'll give you a $100 Home Depot gift card, and that's our promise. Go to www.javamortgage.com, and again, that's www.javamortgage.com. Click the apply now to get started. NMLS 2316625, an equal housing lender.
All right, back to the show.
Needs to be a nice home. So yeah. Not all of them. Yeah. So then there's a different type of caliber home. Like even the home I just described, it was nice, but it wasn't high end luxury nice. Yeah. It was nice though. But that when we first took that over, they weren't renting hardly at all. They were renting for $6,000 to $7,000 a week, and it was sporadic. So when I said to our client, you know, we're going to go, this was 4 years ago. So I said, we're going to go to 10,000 after we do this couple things here. They looked at me like I was crazy. Are we going to get that? We really want to book it. We don't want to have weeks open. We were booked solid for the first summer. Then we just started going up. So, but there's a demand for anybody right now that wants to buy. It's not as much inventory, so it's finding the right house. I wouldn't spend too much if your idea is to invest, but it's equity too, right? So you got both ends of it. So if you're looking at equity, that's what I always look at, no matter where they're buying. Like if it's important to them and they're pulling money out of a stock market or out of their 401k, let's make that money work for you too. That's what real estate's supposed to do, and enjoy it.
100%. So, for example, like a lot of real estate investors starting these days are not your typical, you know, we have just cash to come in and just buy stuff because the stock market or my money market accounts or my 401ks are not performing like they want to. But for somebody that's coming in and says, hey, you know, where can I buy for the cheapest amount of money and get the highest cash flow returns?
Right.
Like are those, because what we're seeing right now here is that right now the numbers aren't working. It's either break even or just below break even. And then it's a long-term play until interest rates start to change and then refinance to get the margins back to where they should be. Are you seeing a lot of that right now, or are you still seeing a high demand for, you know, decent rents, you know, in the, you know, let's say I want to find something doesn't necessarily need to be on the water, but maybe it's, you know, 10 minutes away from the water. And there are still some, you know, advantages of purchasing off the water, but still have the access. Are there still
to the water? Yeah.
Still seeing cash flowing properties out there?
That's a great question. I think we're seeing a lot of what you're seeing in terms of generally speaking, right? That the inflation's up, the prices are just crazy. And now we're plateauing. And I don't think we know where that plateau is yet.
Right.
That's how I see it. So, I think there definitely is opportunities, but here's where I see the opportunities more for somebody that wants to come in. So you probably find the same thing. So if you see a house that's completely done and your clients go in and they don't have to do a thing, they're willing to pay a little bit more for that house, maybe a lot more, right? Probably, I'm guessing no one wants to do work. And then that's where it's hard for the numbers to work too.
Yeah.
But if somebody is willing to do some work, because there are opportunities, but they need work. And it is a little bit of the longer game, because now you have to fix up the house. And sometimes it needs a lot, sometimes not that much, depending on location. Now you can get the rents, you know, in the summer, not in the winter, only in the summer. So the big rents. And it is going to take a few years for things to shake out a little bit and have rates come back down and to see it. But is it worth it? Absolutely. You know, I think anyways, because I don't think real estate's going down in nice areas anyways. I don't think it's going to go down personally.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're always going to have those places around the globe that are always going to be high destination places.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can get in and you can, you know, hang in there through the tougher times, you're going to get a huge, huge payoff at the end.
Yeah.
And of course we might be slightly biased, but in the real estate space, you know, real estate is much more stable than any other investment, I believe.
I do too.
Period of time. And you don't have the huge swings and the ups and downs like you see in the stock market where, you know, if I turn 65 and I want to retire, that timing might not work out for me.
Right.
Which we're seeing over and over and over and over again, that the timing just hasn't been working out. Mm-hmm. And so then people are stuck and they're like, my 401k just dropped by 30%, but I can't work anymore. I physically cannot work anymore. I need to like cash out. And now, you know, when they may have had 25, 30 years of income available. Now they might have 15, and now they're standing as a greeter at Walmart right now because they got to supplement that income somehow. Right. Whereas a lot of, if you're listening to this podcast, that you definitely need to start thinking about real estate investing right now, you know, because now sellers are much more open for negotiations, especially if there's, you know, days on market are
starting to climb again. 30, yeah.
They're 40, 50 days on market. You know, you can start coming in and say, hey, you know, I can come in 100 grand less than asking. And sometimes they're like,
well, we're not seeing that yet. Yeah. Well, it depends on the house. I shouldn't say that.
If they were not seeing 100 grand, but I have seen 160 grand actually just recently, which I was like shocked, you know, that they decided to negotiate that much. But you just never know people's situations, you know.
Exactly. And exactly. Right.
Make tons of offers. You know, if you're not in a hurry, make tons of offers. Eventually something's gonna land. You'll find somebody that's, you know, like, absolutely, let's go. Can you close in a week? No, right. Not in a week, but maybe 2 weeks.
right.
Well, very good. Okay, so let's talk about another thing. HOAs. I know people, you know, a lot of, you know, higher end areas have crazy HOAs in some places. How are you seeing that? And are you seeing pushback on HOAs with any of your clients?
So it's so interesting. We don't deal with HOAs here. Hardly at all.
Wow.
Not saying we don't have them, but it's not a factor, especially on the waterfront.
Yeah.
Especially. So I think you and I, we were kind of chatting before and we were talking about, so Cape Cod is very interesting. It's mixture. So you have a street, one side of the street is water. Very seldom will both sides of the street be water. We do have those streets, but that's not the norm. So one side's water, one side isn't. It's mixed. It's a lot of mixed. Yeah. So, and they're not always, we're very laid back here. We're a little bit behind the times. We're not as like, I mean, I work a lot with especially the New York clients.
Oh, sure.
Oh, they come in. Well, I don't understand what fees for this or what fees for that. And where's the HOA fees and where's these fees? I'm like, oh, there's no fees. What? Yeah. That can't be right. You know, no fees. Massachusetts makes it up in taxes, but it's a beautiful state. But there's no fee. Like, it's just, I find it so, it's interesting. So and it's usually HOA fees are in like condos.
Yeah. Yeah. We have like the county decided that they're no longer plowing the roads in the winter anymore. So now you have to have an HOA to cover all of the road maintenance and things like that during the winter months. And so, you know, in some areas, you know, it's pretty minimal. It's like $150 a year or something like that. You might get a picnic once a year for the HOA, but that's about it. But, you know, in the state of Wyoming, we only got 500,000 people in the whole state. So we just don't have the income base to pay for all of these equipment to do all the road.
Plowing the roads. I mean, and don't get me wrong. We do have them. Like, I live in an association that does have an HOA fee. So it's $550 for the year.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
It's like nothing. So it's like, you know, yet that's what you see in certain areas. They'll be like, condos, they have the HOA fees for sure, but
And most of the condo association dues are monthly.
Those are monthly usually. But far as if you do see any in a resort area, it's usually something like that. It's so laid back, and you can participate if you want to, and you don't have to if you don't want
That's way too laid back for us.
We are so laid back here. It's like,
You know, we have an HOA, but it's, you know, it's optional. You know, it's up to you, you know.
Not all of them. But there's a lot that are. We collect a couple hundred a year, but if you can pay it, great. If not, you know.
Okay. We'll catch you next time.
You're not supposed to use the beach or something, but we're interesting here on the Cape. Very laid back, though.
Awesome.
Compared to other parts of the country, for sure.
Awesome. So if there is there any other kind of special considerations that somebody might want to consider that we haven't covered today about someone coming to the area? Is there some things that maybe would be surprising outside of kind of the stuff that we've already covered for someone that's interested in buying
water? Well, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot to waterfront. Okay. It's so such a different sale. And there is so much to it that a buyer and a seller, they both really need to be aware of that. I do a lot of due diligence, like if I'm selling for them, so we don't have any surprises. I mean, there is, and that's what's really important about getting a good buyer agent and to go to someone that specializes in water, because there's a lot of great agents, but they're not always on the water, and that's different things you're going to look for. Certificate of compliance, COCs, for example, like if they have what their order of conditions are they continuing? Like, is the town, has the conservation saying, look, you need to plant X, Y, and Z for the next 5 years or for the entirety of the property, the life of the property? We do see those. If there are order conditions, have they been closed out? Whether you're selling or whether you're buying, that's important, because those need to be closed out. And what are they? And, you need one for pretty much everything you do on the water as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What does that mean, in terms of the buyer? Like, so if a person's buying a piece of property on the water and, they're not familiar with the conservation, like, what does that mean?
So what that mean, I basically, for me, I can just speak for what I do. I do all the due diligence because I want my buyer to know what they're getting or what they're not getting. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just so they're aware. No surprises. Okay. Because I do hear some horror stories out there. Take example docks, for example. Is it a licensed dock? Is it a 100-year dock? What is it? Has it, they need to be approved up to the state level. So where's the standing of this dock? Because you don't want to, and is it legal? Because sometimes people just put things there and it's not legal. And so people can buy a house and be told the dock has to be taken out. Well, that's the reason they bought the house. This has not happened with me. So I've heard heard the stories and never want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So we do that. I do a lot of the due diligence. If it's beachfront, for example, do you own the beach? Not always do you own the beach. How far do you own? Is it up to a certain point? What are the conservation regulations here? Are they requiring anything for that property? And have you done any work? Okay. You got permission to clear trees or to do something. Okay. Did that permission get closed out and get recorded at our registry of deeds? So it's so much in it. I hear a lot, just talk about flood zone for a second. Everybody's just hears flood zone. And actually it's something that when we are off this, that I'm going to take a look at for a client right now that's upset because it's in a flood zone. But it's to be open-minded too, because some of these flood zones are not a lot of money. It's not, it's just, but it can be. So it's doing the due diligence to find out, okay, am I in a flood zone? What does that look like? What is it going to cost me? If the house is perfect and it's great and the flood insurance is $300 a year, I don't know. Maybe it's worth buying the house. They can only answer that, but it doesn't sound like a lot to me.
Depending. I mean, in a lot of ways, you're kind of asking for it when you're like, I'm on the water.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, I want to be on the water. I don't want to be in a flood zone.
Right.
Like, no, I think, no.
That's
I think
an oxymoron, like the definition right, of an oxymoron right there.
Absolutely. But, it's ranges so much. It ranges so much where that flood insurance can be, though.
Sure.
What flood and zone. So that, I think that's more what it is. Like, if it's in that, the AE worst flood zone, I mean, you could be paying $10,000 to $20,000 in.
That's a huge one. I mean, really, because I think people get in this idea that real estate is just this one generality thing, that there's just, you do these 10 things, you check those 10 boxes, and that's just kind of it. And they don't really think about all these little nuances along the way, when in reality, it's like, oh, I guess I never really thought about flood insurance. I didn't, you know, and they didn't put two and two together thinking, you know, and the other thing is, you know, do you get hurricanes ever out there? You know, and if you're on the ocean, there's a possibility you might get a hurricane. It's not, you know, it's doesn't matter where you are. If you're close to the ocean, there's a possibility for a hurricane anywhere. And I know that, you know, Cape Cod's not a hurricane path place, generally speaking, but that doesn't mean that it'll never happen. You know,
Right. I mean, it's inevitable anywhere on the Cape, and we're all like, it's everything's close to the water here. I mean, everything is fairly close. So yeah. Sometimes you know, it's part of, you know, the maintenance piece of it. Right. So, yeah. But there is a lot of nuances to take a look at depending, you know, in each property's different, you know, they're all different.
Yeah. So, this is something that's going around right now. And I don't know if you, this might be a curveball, but, are you guys running into any issues with insurances out there? Cause I know right now, especially in Florida, insurance companies are bowing out and taking premium. And then basically one day you get a notice, hey, we're out of business. Thank you for your premium. We're out of business. Here's a suggestion. Call these guys. We're pulling out of your state.
Wow.
So yeah, State Farm just pulled out of Florida, and I believe there was one other one, big one too, that just pulled out of Florida too.
They're not
doing insurance.
It's the big companies that are pulling out, right? It's more the big. So this is a lot. Like I do get this, like when people arrive on the Cape, they're buying a house, and I will ask them, do you have an insurance agent that you're, oh, I love my insurance. It's State Farm or whoever, some big company, not to bash State Farm. But I say, well, okay, that's great. Why don't you look at a couple local insurances too? And it doesn't hurt to compare. They always go with my recommendation, I believe, most of the time, because we have a lot of great insurance. And I'm always about local business too, but not just local, do a good job, not just because they're local, but they do a good job. So a lot of people are concerned about that, but we have a lot of great insurance agencies that can write the business, and usually for a lot less than the big companies do too. And they're here. They're not going anywhere. So,
very good.
Yeah. Awesome. But that's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if people want to know more about how to live on the water, or if they want to, you know, pick your brain, or how can somebody get a hold of you if they want to reach out and see if Cape Cod's a great place for them?
Thank you so much for even asking that. That's nice. I to make it easy, I would just say go to, because you'll find all the information, the contact information. I can be reached any way you want, but just visit us at propertycapecod.com. And yeah, you can even book time there or just call me. It's very flexible. I'm really all about the other person and what's best for them. So yeah.
Awesome.
And my team all works the same way. Everyone's great. So thank you very much, JP.
Absolutely. Well, Tia, this has been a wonderful interview. I wish you all the best. Grow your team huge and just dominate that market out there, because I think that's a lot to unpack. And I think that your wealth of information for, you know, living on the water, if people just want to think about, like, how do I specialize, like, you know, because that can be scary in and of itself. And then, oh, now I'm sending out referrals, like, will they ever come back, you know, because we hear a lot of times right now is people are wanting to specialize in, you know, luxury homes. And but yet they get so used to the small business because it continues to bring income in, rather than like, no, if you study the course, the success will follow. So,
well, I also think it's how you position yourself. You do it all, but what you show. So if somebody wants to get into luxury, start somewhere in luxury and showcase what they've done in that luxury. You can still be selling the other, but you just don't have to have that front and center.
Yeah.
Just put what you want out there front and
absolutely.
Center.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So. Well, that will conclude another episode of Success Agent Podcast. And so if you like what you hear today, just hit like and subscribe. Follow us on all where you can find podcasts, whether that's on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts, and leave us a great review. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Success Agent Podcast, hosted by JP Fluellen. To find more content, go to WyomingRealEstateCareers.com. Please also go to Success Agent on Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe, and if you find the content valuable, please share this podcast and give it a 5-star review. It helps us with our rankings. This has been another episode of the Success Agent Podcast.